Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, folks. It's another fun and exciting episode of Podcast Versus the Stupid. I'm your host, Xander of Xander Versus the Stupid, along with Bon Tindall, where I usually have her here on the show. Hi, Bon. How are we doing?
Hey, doing great.
Yay. All right. So we'll get right to it. This week we had the first Democratic Party candidate debate for president for 2016. We had Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley, and Jim Webb on stage in Las Vegas for a CNN debate. It went pretty long. I think it went about 3 hours, maybe a little short of 3 hours, but it definitely was a absolute sea change from the first two Republican debates, mud fights, kids scribbling on the wall with crayons, whatever you want to call that side of it.
You said it perfect. The adults were in the room.
Yeah, the adults were definitely in the room talking about actual policy rather than crazy things like magically deporting 20 million people with teleporters or whatever Republicans planning to do.
You know, they don't have enough money to help feed the poor, but they have enough to build a huge fence.
Yeah, a giant wall protected by gators and lasers and moats and boiling oil and probably elves, elven rangers. Something. I don't know.
One can hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have pretty good range if you give them
they
a high enough.
They would score the vote of the D&D nerds if they did that.
That's true. I would definitely have to look at their Elven Ranger program. Back in reality, though, or as close as you can call it to reality, it being in Las Vegas, the debate, the Democrats showcased their policy, actual policy positions. Amazing how that happens instead of crazy Republican stuff. Hillary Clinton, I thought, did a very good job. Bernie Sanders definitely had his moments, but you could tell throughout the debate that Hillary Clinton had been here before. She's definitely the best debater in the group. She looked the most comfortable out there, whether or not you agree with what she had to say, but she definitely looked the most comfortable.
Absolutely, and her experience is one of her strongest leading points. I mean, this woman has been through it all for decades now. I mean, she's not a freshman. She knows her way through, and she handled even those uncomfortable curveballs with great aplomb and diplomacy, which is exactly what you expect from someone like her.
Yeah, and Anderson Cooper, who was moderating the debate, wasted no time in going after Clinton within the first few minutes, asking her about her flip-flop position on the Trans-Pacific Partnership as Secretary of State. She, of course, supported President Obama's position that the trade agreement was going to be very beneficial to the United States. Now she's saying she doesn't like what she's read. She doesn't like what she's seen. Whether or not you buy that.
And I love that.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I just said, I love that she came out supporting her party, you know, I mean, because there's always a certain amount of information given. But what I respect so much is that in light of all of the information, she was able to say, wait, now I have some concerns. And she was able to change her mind without it just being to score points. She actually had legitimate issues that she brought to the table. And I think it's a great sign of maturity, what you want in a leader to say, oh, but upon review, we need to address this.
Right. And it's not like that doesn't get said all the time. You know, we've got new information now to discuss. I'd like, you know, I have these concerns that I'd like addressed. I mean, that's what you expect actual, you know, politicians and, well, leaders to say. And we're electing, you know, a leader here in 2016. We're electing President of the United States. Someone's going to have to process new information and make decisions based on that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the details, the latest details on on the trade deal. I'm sure there are some concerns about that. I'm sure there are some things that are good, like any trade deal. But again, any trade deal is automatically going to be a compromise, and there are going to be winners and losers in a trade deal.
And she didn't kibosh it. She just simply said, we need to address these things. You know, she brought up the issues without completely flipping and saying, kill it. She just said, look at this. You know, reasonable, like you said.
Yeah, that is true. I will give her that much. Bernie Sanders
really shined.
Yeah, he unloaded on, he got his point across. He unloaded on the subjects that he wanted to talk about, which was the banks in this country. And really, any Democrat is going to say, yeah, you know what? After what the banks did during the Bush era, breaking them up, regulating them more, no one I know who's a Democrat is really against that. That's kind of an easy position to have, and Bernie is definitely the candidate who has the best handle on that, I think, as far as wanting to deal with the banks. If anything, he has pushed Hillary Clinton to the left on a couple of issues, and one of those issues is definitely Wall Street. Clinton still, though, talked about fixing capitalism rather than abandoning it, which I can see. That definitely makes sense to me. That seems like a pragmatic position on it, but at least that's being discussed at this point, which, and in 2008, that really wasn't. We were still kind of talking about what we were going to do in order to make sure that the economy didn't collapse at this point in 2007. And even then, there were signs that America was in a lot of trouble because of Wall Street's misdeeds. Go ahead.
Something that really struck me about their approach that was different from the earlier Republican debate is all of the Republican solutions I heard were basically burn it and start over, whereas the Democrat approach definitely seemed to be more of incrementally let us adjust, measure, readjust. Realistically
right.
Executable plan.
Yeah, see, that's where there's a major difference between the two parties. Republicans are like, we're just going to burn the place down and start over. Well, okay, start over with what? Well, we're not sure, but what we'd like, you know, what we have now is terrible, and if we get rid of it, we'll replace it with something. We don't know exactly what we're going to replace it with, but it's got to be better than this. Well, that's not a plan. Well, I guess it's a plan if you're dealing with giant mutant weeds or something.
Yeah, if Plants vs. Zombies ever hits the United States, we are covered.
Yeah. If you're trying to destroy giant weeds, I guess burn it down. It's got to be better, whatever replaces it. But that's not how an economy works. That's not how Main Street economics works, guys. You have to have a plan. And the Democrats talked about fixing it. Hillary talked about fixing capitalism to make it work better for average Americans. O'Malley talked about fixing the justice system so it worked better for all Americans. Bernie kind of learned his lesson this time and started talking about how Black Lives Matter and not kind of automatically shifting to All Lives Matter. You know, I mean, Democrats learn and respond and adjust, like you said. They're much better at that than the Republicans are.
From an evolutionary standpoint, those are the people who make it.
Right, yeah. Bernie Sanders talked about his kind of mixed record on gun control. I mean, he's from Vermont. It's a small kind of rural state. There are people in Vermont, both, you know, Democrat and Republican, that own firearms as, you know, a tool that's used out, you know, in, it's not like they're huge cities in Vermont or anything. It is a rural state. You know, they're farms, okay? And
if there
whatever,
was a big city in Vermont, it would be Vermont.
Yeah. Really, I've been there.
It's the size of a Missouri county.
Yeah, basically. It's not a huge state or anything. And Bernie Sanders made a good point, and what we've been talking about in past episodes, that his statement was the views in rural states on gun control are different from urban states, whether we like it or not. And that's true. That is definitely true. The view on gun control in Kentucky is different than it's going to be in California or New York.
Right.
It's going to be different in Texas than it is in Minnesota. It's just the way it is. There are urban views on gun control and there are rural views on gun control. And, you know, America represents all of that. You know, 310, 315 million Americans, we don't all live in cities. We don't all live on farms. So
and that makes
do
sense
to,
because rural has right. their own gun problem and the urban areas have their gun problem and they are completely different in origin.
Right. Yeah, there are. That is very true.
Again, that incremental response, the common sense of let us find the differences and then combat them instead of trying to lump it all together and shoehorn one solution, that's going to fail all counts. Whereas they're willing to be open-minded and look and see. We're rural people. I mean, I grew up in the country. It's completely different than inner city New York, where how you get guns, how they're used, the culture, everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I grew up in North Carolina and I lived in Minnesota for a while, and now I live in Kentucky. So it's definitely different. Absolutely. And speaking of guns and shooting things, one of the big differences that went on was when we got to how Democrats responded to the Iraq war and foreign policy. A lot of people, Sanders and Chafee and O'Malley, went after Hillary Clinton's position in 2008 that she supported the Iraq war. That as a senator, she voted for that. That was one of the big differences in 2008 was that Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq war. Senator Barack Obama at the time against it. I think that was a major issue in 2008. I don't think that's as big of a deal as it was in 2008 that it is now. I mean, granted, we're still in, you know, Afghanistan. We're still going to have President Obama announced this week, as a matter of fact, that we're still going to have, you know, 5,000-10,000 troops in Afghanistan through the end of his term. Getting us completely out of Afghanistan is going to be the next president's issue. You know,
the next.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's going, it would have been nice.
I
to
understand
get
the desire to be out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I also understand you can't pull them all in. That would leave a vacuum of disaster. I understand. We do need a strategy. We need a solid plan. And again, incremental. Apparently, that's going to be the theme of the talk. But you can't just stop what you've started. You have to work it down and make it to where it's sustainable.
And it is. And, you know, Putin's not helping. Syria's definitely not helping. Iran.
No.
You never know what those guys are up to. You make a nuclear deal with them on one hand, and on the other hand, they start screwing around with Hezbollah. And it's very complicated. It's very complex. It's Hillary Clinton's strong point, and definitely you have to say that she has foreign policy as a strong point, having been Secretary of State for President Obama's first term. I think she has
a learning curve for the position.
Yeah. You don't get much stronger with foreign policy chops than actually having been Secretary of State for an entire president's term. Especially following the absolute disaster that was Bush's foreign policy, which got us into this mess in the first place. It was very good to see Clinton talk about foreign policy and what needs to be done. Jim Webb, and we haven't really talked too much about Jim Webb, but then again, neither did neither did Anderson Cooper or the debate.
Neither did Jim Webb.
Yeah, apparently Jim Webb at one point telling Anderson Cooper, "I've been standing over here for about 10 minutes waiting on someone to actually ask him a question." Webb, of course, the former senator from Virginia, a Vietnam War veteran, member of the Senate Armed Services Committee when he was a senator, definitely has some foreign policy chops. He talked about Iraq and China. He was kind of a bit more aggressive on China than the Obama administration has been, I thought. I thought overall Webb was somewhat more hawkish than anyone else on the stage. And
I had no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good as far as what you want in a president, but I can understand him at least wanting to bring that into the debate. As far as differentiating himself from the rest of the candidates, that's where Jim Webb was. A bit further to the right, a bit more of a foreign policy hawk on China, Iran, ISIS, Iraq, and Syria, and towards Russia, for that matter. He definitely had a lot to say about the military.
Which, of course, is his strongest point, where he has the most credibility.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's exactly where he should have gone. It was a smart move.
Right. At one point, Anderson Cooper, in the debate, offered up the fact that Bernie Sanders was a conscientious objector in the Vietnam War. He offered that up to Webb if he wanted to go after Sanders for it. And Webb said no. He wasn't going to do that. Jim Webb has, and Bernie Sanders have long been friends, both coming from kind of rural states, you know, or at least the part of Virginia that is rural, where Jim Webb's base is. They both served on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, so I mean they're kind of friends. They get along. It was interesting at one point that Bernie Sanders says he's not a pacifist. I mean, and that's, I think, a very admission on Sanders' case that if he is going to be the candidate, he's not a pacifist. I mean,
if you look at the Vietnam War from today, he was right to protest the war. I mean, he's not necessarily against – he understands the necessity of war, but that one in particular, it was unwinnable and it was a mistake. And we realized that we went into it kind of wrong. You know, we skidded in sideways and we bit off more than we could chew. And I have no problem with someone who acknowledged that at the time, especially retrospectively, we can see who was right and wrong at the time. That was a brave position to take.
Yeah, it was. It was. And then there was Link Chafee, the former governor of Rhode Island. He's still in this race. He said he let off early in the debate when he was making his introduction that he was, a block of granite on issues. And amazingly enough, that kind of was very fitting because he kind of sat there much like a block of granite for most of the entire debate. And
what a great metaphor.
Yeah, it weird at some point. Chafee tried to get into it, but he, near the end of the debate, It's weird. Chafee ended up in the Senate. Actually, he was a senator and before he was governor from Rhode Island. His father, John Chafee, was senator. Lincoln Chafee ended up in the Senate when his father died. he said, you know, at one point when the vote to repeal Glass-Steagall Act in 1999 under President Clinton, when he signed that into law, which kind of made the banks' foolishness possible in, under the W era, Chafee defended his vote in the Senate, saying that he had just filled his father's seat after he had died. It was kind of weird. He said it was a 95-5 vote, and it was, but I'm not sure how that's going to go over with voters, kind of reminding people that the only reason that Link Chafee got his Senate seat was because of his dad. This is probably not the election to be running on your dad's credentials. I'm just saying, hi, Jeb Bush, how you doing? Boy. And Chafee did not come across well. Webb came across a bit testy, but he had his moments. O'Malley did get in there on criminal justice issues. He had some good ideas about fighting mass incarceration as governor of Maryland. I thought that was his wheelhouse, was domestic issues as much as it is Jim Webb on foreign policy issues. I think together they would actually have been a pretty decent candidate if you put those two guys together. But that's mainly where Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are. So that doesn't really leave a whole lot of places for them. And then Lincoln Chafee and his weird speech. I don't know. Did any of those guys, O'Malley, Chafee, Webb, kind of strike you as vice presidential material? Maybe you could say that they were kind of.
Possibly. I could see Webb with the right president being a great yin to the yang. You know, he would go great with Bernie.
Yeah, the two
I'd
of them.
I'd love to see Bernie and Clinton.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I think a Clinton-Sanders or Sanders-Clinton ticket, depending on how the primary goes, would definitely be extremely strong. You can also make the case for Sanders-Webb, should that happen. Clinton-Webb, not so much.
It would be
much.
A smart move for them.
Yeah,
because
but,
alone, neither one of them has a chance, but combined, they could almost equal a Hillary or a Bernie.
That's true. That is definitely true. I don't know. Of the three, I think, you're right. Webb, I could see probably being kind of playing the Biden role to Obama.
I don't think he's presidential material, but I think he could serve a great role.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's got
true.
The right character and disposition and experience. I just don't think he's quite got the charisma, the diplomacy, and the rest of the things that Bernie and Clinton do have.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
By the way, I just have to give him Bernie Sanders kudos. When they brought up Hillary Clinton's emails, that he kiboshed that. He didn't let them roast her on it. He stepped in, said the exact right thing, and it wasn't an act of fake chivalry. It was simply setting the record straight and saying, guys, this is dumb. It's wasting our time. Move on to what matters. And it made everyone look good. Again, the adults were at the table. It was just a chance to see what kind of player he'd be if he was given the power to be one.
Right. And this is when, for the folks at home may not have seen the clip, Anderson Cooper brought up Hillary Clinton's emails, and it was Bernie Sanders who stepped in and said, you know, why are we talking about this? This doesn't matter. Let's stick with the issues here, which was very true. I have to say, if your number one rival in the debate has your back,
exactly.
In a situation like that, you can say what you want about who quote unquote won the debate, but if you have your number one rival defending you in the debate against what's arguably the most prevalent, or at least the most visible plan of attack that's being used against you, you're doing something right. And like you said, it was a class act on the part of Sanders, but from a strategic point of view, from where Hillary Clinton was, that was definitely where she wanted to be. And that made her look good, as it made Bernie look good too.
And it was very non-scripted, immediate, faked for the moment. It was organic. It just happened.
Yeah, and as you said, Bernie truly meant it. It was sincere. And again, it was another episode where the Democrats proved that they were being the adults in the room. Sanders wanted to get back to the real issues. And Hillary's email is not a real issue. What Americans are making in their paychecks is an issue. How we can improve Obamacare is an issue. What we're going to do about Iran, Afghanistan, ISIS, Syria, Russia is an issue. What's on Hillary Clinton's email server is not an issue. It's dumb. And I'm glad that Bernie Sanders called out the media on this, because the New York Times especially has just gone on and on and on about this. And it's just obnoxious. It really is.
It's almost like, to the point, anyone who cared about Benghazi is still sick of it by now, because anytime your back is to the wall, Benghazi, they use it like punctuation.
Yeah.
It's lost all meaning.
It's like that scene in Super Troopers where the guy says, how many times can I say meow during this traffic stop? Only you replace meow with Benghazi. I mean, do you know why I pulled you over, Benghazi? That was basically it. I mean, come on. It's so silly. Even the Republicans admit at this point, we've now had two Republicans gone on record on national television and say, yes, Benghazi was there. We went after Benghazi to harm Hillary Clinton. And guys, you're bad at this. You really are. It could be why you're kind of losing at this point. It's just so.
I do like seeing the Democrats shift back to being those adults and saying, you're not going to draw me into this. I'm a grown up. I'm going to be the role model that you can't be. So let me show you how big people do their job. I love the competency that they have shown so far and not stooping.
Yeah, that is true. They could have got.
It
and
really
in several points, like
you said.
Yeah, like we were talking about, at several points, the Anderson Cooper. Some of the other, he was a main moderator, but there were other folks there, Jake Tapper, a couple of other folks, basically brought up attack angles that they basically wanted to see the folks on the stage go after each other, and they said, no, you know, we're not going to talk about this stuff. We're going to talk about the issues that we want to talk about. And that happened at several points in that debate. And I think that really made a difference.
Cooper didn't throw him softballs.
Oh yeah.
He asked good questions and he did his job well. He didn't just lobby up the easy things and he did his job good in that he got out of their way. You know, he got them going and when they said things that mattered, he was content to let them progress.
Yeah, he did not, to his credit, Cooper did not interrupt the debaters. And at this point, at this point, we've actually spent the entire episode on this.
But it needed to be said. There was all good stuff
it
there.
It did. I thought it came across very well. And I'm definitely looking forward to the next debate. Whether or not Joe Biden's going to be there, well, that's going to be an episode for another time. We'll get into Biden at some point on this. And that's another issue. Do you have anything else to say while we have the last couple of seconds here, Vaughn?
No, I think next week we'll find some more to tackle and we'll be back fresh.
All right. So we want to thank you for listening. Again, this podcast versus the stupid. I'm Xander, and that's Vaughn, and we'll see you next time.